40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off with the Road to Russia 2018 and the qualifying competition for football's premier event. South Korea, which co-hosted the 2002 World Cup with Japan, has some work to do to reach a ninth consecutive World Cup. The South Koreans traveled to Doha and lost to Qatar 3-2. The Qataris, who will host the 2022 World Cup, got two goals from Hassan Al-Haidos. With two qualifiers remaining, South Korea is in second place in its six-team Group A with 13 points from 8 matches, putting it 1 point ahead of Uzbekistan. Iran is in first place in this group with 20 points and has already booked its ticket to Russia next year after beating Uzbekistan 2-0 on Monday. Our VOA World Cup fans will remember the top two teams from Asia's two six-team groups automatically qualify for Russia 2018. In another Group A result from Asia, Syria and visiting China drew 2-2. The Syrians have 9 points from 8 qualifiers, while the Chinese are at the bottom of the table with 6 points. Turning to Group B in Asia's World Cup qualifying, Iraq and visiting Japan drew 1-1, and host Thailand and the United Arab Emirates also drew 1-1. With two qualifiers left, the Japanese lead this group with 17 points. Saudi Arabia and Australia each have 16 points, while the United Arab Emirates has 10 points. Iraq with 5 points and Thailand with 2 points have both been eliminated. In a result from the Oceania region, the Solomon Islands scored a 3-2 road victory over Papua New Guinea. The Solomon Islands has advanced to a two-leg playoff in the Oceania region against New Zealand, and the winner of this Oceania playoff goes on to play the fifth-place team from the South America region in another two-leg series in November, with the victor qualifying for Russia 2018. Now let's go to CONCACAF World Cup qualifying for teams in North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. In results Tuesday, Costa Rica scored a 2-1 victory over visiting Trinidad and Tobago, and host Panama and Honduras drew 2-2. Mexico, which drew 1-1 with the visiting USA on Sunday, leads this six-team group with 14 points from 6 matches. Costa Rica is in second place with 11 points, followed by the USA with 8 points, Panama with 7 points, Honduras with 5 points, and Trinidad and Tobago at the bottom with 3 points. The top three teams in the CONCACAF group qualify for Russia 2018, and the fourth place team advances to a two-leg playoff against an Asian opponent in November. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Come back, baby, come back. Come back, baby, come back.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a look at the challenges facing women and girls in Africa on their road to empowerment. We'll examine the current situation and look ahead at the way forward. On the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life. It'll help us every day. It'll brighten all our ways when we keep on sunny side of life. When we keep on sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Hi, my name is Abdul Bilal Hamid. I'm the goalkeeper for DC United. And to any Muslims out there fasting in Ramadan, I want to wish you the best this holy month. I want to wish you a good, safe, easy Ramadan. So stay strong, and inshallah, it will be a quick month for us.
Thanks for those Ramadan good wishes, Bil Hamid. And as Bill says, a good and safe Ramadan for all of our Muslim listeners. 2018 World Cup host Russia will host New Zealand Saturday in St. Petersburg in the opening match of the 10th FIFA Confederations Cup football tournament. This eight-nation competition features the champions of FIFA's six regional confederations, along with the reigning World Cup champion, Germany, and the host nation, Russia. While it's described as a dress rehearsal for the World Cup, keep in mind, VOA football fans, next year's World Cup in Russia will feature four times as many teams, that is, 32. The eight teams at the FIFA Confederations Cup are divided into two groups of four each. Group A has host Russia, along with New Zealand, Portugal, and Mexico. Group B has African champion Cameroon, along with Chile, Australia, and 2014 World Cup champion Germany. The top two teams in each group will advance to the semifinals on June 28th and June 29th, and the final will be on July 2nd. The 68,000-seat Krestovsky Stadium in St. Petersburg will host the opening match on Saturday between Russia and New Zealand, as well as the final on July 2nd and two other matches. Kazan, Moscow, and Sochi will also stage matches during the FIFA Confederations Cup. The Kazan and Moscow stadiums each have a seating capacity of about 45,000, while the Sochi venue holds about 48,000. Taking a look at the opening matches, Cristiano Ronaldo in Portugal will play Mexico in Kazan on Sunday. That same day, Cameroon will challenge Chile in Moscow, and the Socceroos of Australia will go against Germany on Monday, June 19th in Sochi. Now, African champion Cameroon is hoping a good performance in Russia will lift their 2018 World Cup qualifying campaign. The indomitable Lions of Cameroon have two draws from their opening two group matches, putting them 4 points behind first place Super Eagles of Nigeria. When African World Cup qualifying resumes at the end of August, Nigeria will host Cameroon in what promises to be a key African fixture. Getting back to the FIFA Confederations Cup, this is Cameroon's third appearance in the tournament. The indomitable Lions reached the final in their last appearance in 2003, but this was tragically overshadowed when Marc-Vivien Foe collapsed on the field of play in a semifinal against Colombia and died shortly afterwards. A grief-stricken Cameroon then went on to lose to host France 1-0 in the final in extra time on a goal by Thierry Henry in the 97th minute. Since South Africa became a democracy in 1994, the country has achieved success on sports fields globally. Its rugby team, nicknamed the Springboks, has won 2 World Cups. Its soccer squad, nicknamed Bafana Bafana, has won the Africa Cup of Nations and has competed in 3 World Cups. Soccer, rugby, and cricket are indeed the most popular sports in South Africa. However, Statistics South Africa, a state organization that monitors trends in the country, says participation in fringe pursuits is spiking. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Darren Taylor reports on one of these, which you might say packs some punch.
A sweating boxer punches a bag inside the top box gym in northern Johannesburg. On its walls are faded photos of boxing legends like Mike Tyson and local fight heroes including former lightweight world champ Dingaan Tobela. Ex-professional boxer Stephen Castle says when he opened Top Box 18 years ago, it was the only boxing fitness facility in South Africa. Now, they're springing up across the country.
I think people are drawn to boxing because it's a cheap way of training that's effective. You don't need fancy equipment. You don't need this big leg press machines and these heavy weights and fancy treadmills and stepping machines.
One of his clients, body therapist Michelle Katsavas, says traditional workouts bore her and boxing's exciting.
It's great fun. You know, it's exercise, but it isn't. You don't really think about it at the time you're doing it. That's really why I do it.
Castle's training space is simple. A rudimentary boxing ring, skipping ropes, and a few punch bags. But as the brawny bald man says, a little goes a long way.
It increases your muscle tone. It makes you stronger where you're weaker. The routine is the routine. If you need to lose weight, you'll lose weight. Boxing will fix your body. It'll put it where it should be and correct it. That's what it does.
The trainer says unlike many other ways to get fit, boxing exercises the upper and lower body at the same time and bolsters the mind.
What I do give you is I give you the ability to believe in yourself, to have confidence in your own ability, and then the strength to know that you can defend yourself.
Katsava says her boxing skills make her feel less vulnerable on Johannesburg's mean streets.
It definitely helps in terms of how to punch correctly and to be aware of your stance, your positioning, and also your inner strength.
But she says misconceptions about fitness boxing abound, and when she tells people she boxes, they're usually surprised.
Well, they think it's a bit rough. Which it isn't. They automatically think that you get in the ring and spar, and it's not like that at all. It's boxer size. So, no, it's great.
50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 20, up. Okay, 1-2-1. Let's go. 1-2-1. Straight into it. Quick.
Castle helps a boxer work out. He says those unfamiliar with boxing think it's nothing more than brutality. Tough men from poor backgrounds pounding one another. But Castle's clientele shatters this cliché.
One of our biggest membership bases has been women, not the tough, aggressive type of people. They recognize what boxing does for them in terms of fitness, in terms of strength, in terms of confidence. Boxing, I think, has become a sport for everybody.
Diverse people indeed visit his gym.
We've got a 62-year-old lady that's been coming here for years. Attorneys. One of the guys we just said hello to now was the CEO of a multi-million rand company. We've got all types. We've got students, we've got schoolboys.
The Filipino crowd chanting for Pacquiao.
TV footage of great contests of the past inspires Zimbabwean pro boxer Shepherd Musiiwa. He's one of Castle's trainers.
Most of my clients which I train are businessmen. They come here, they train like early in the morning, and then they go and then they run their business. I train them hard, they look good. They come here, they're having big bellies, but now they're in shape now, they look good. Great.
Castle also organizes white-collar tournaments where his trainees can box for real.
They start sparring and they want to know what it feels like to get into a ring with another guy. They like to see what it feels like to fight somebody. Guys that train 2 or 3 times a week now, we're going to get into a ring on a night, put on gloves and fight somebody they don't know.
But as Katsava says, most people box simply to get and stay fit.
We all enjoy a good party and a good drink, so this is exactly why we come here.
Boxing to burn calories after a heavy night out may not be many people's idea of a good time, but for growing numbers in South Africa, that's exactly what it is. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
The Voice of America, VOA.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. Joining us once again here in Studio 22 is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
What's trending in the sports world on this Wednesday?
Well, there's a big story dominating the news in the U.S. today, and that was a shooting earlier today where a congressman, Steve Scalise, and 4 other people were injured. And the reason why we're talking about it on this show is because Congressman Scalise and his colleagues were practicing for the congressional baseball game, which is supposed to be held tomorrow night, and that was when this shooting took place during this baseball practice. And so our listeners might see some of these headlines talking about a baseball practice and say, why is a congressman practicing baseball? Shouldn't he be legislating? But the congressional baseball games actually goes back quite a ways in U.S. history, first organized in 1909 by John Tenor, who was a former professional baseball player turned congressman. And it's been held continuously since, except for about 4 years in the late 50s, early 60s. And this I love because House Speaker Sam Rayburn said that it was too physically taxing and members were getting hurt, which gives you a sense of how hard that these members of Congress were playing baseball, that they had to postpone it for several years because of that. But it is for a good cause. It brings together the Republicans and the Democrats onto the field for a night of fun, and the money that they raise from the ticket sales goes to a bunch of different charities here in the Washington, D.C. area. So if, or like I said, our listeners hear anything about this shooting and wonder why it happened at a baseball practice, they'll now know why. And even during the remarks on the floor of the House of Representatives, we saw House Speaker Paul Ryan saying, knowing Steve Scalise, Congressman Steve Scalise, he'll be upset that he can't play in the baseball game because he was injured in that shooting. And Democratic House Leader Nancy Pelosi saying that sports brings us together, especially with that congressional baseball game. Whether you're Republican or Democrat, you could be polar political opposites, political enemies even, but when you come together on that baseball field, it brings everybody together.
Well, we wish the congressman well, and it sounds like he will make a recovery, Andrew.
Yes, thankfully no one was killed in the shooting. Everyone looks like they're going to make a full recovery.
Well, on a happier note, Andrew, celebrations in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, I understand.
Yes. So what happens, of course, when you win a championship, you get a parade. It's, you know, go hand in hand, really. And so today we saw the parade for the Pittsburgh Penguins as they bring the Stanley Cup back to Pittsburgh. Never left Pittsburgh, I guess, in theory, because they won the Stanley Cup
right.
last year and they won it again this year. So it returns for another year to Pittsburgh. It's the first chance for fans to celebrate the team and the win since they won on the road in Nashville. Also the second year in a row that they've won the Stanley Cup on the road. So a nice opportunity for their fans to celebrate and see the team after that big win. So lots of different signs we're seeing posted on social media celebrating the team, celebrating the different players, and making fun of other teams in particular. One I liked that said, "Fish for dinner, our favorite." And it had 2 illustrations, one of a dead shark because last year they beat the San Jose Sharks in the Stanley Cup Final, and then one of a dead catfish because they beat Nashville this year, the Nashville Predators, and while their mascot is not a catfish, that's the tradition in Nashville. People throw catfish on the ice during those hockey games. So lots of people enjoying the day. Looked like it was good weather there in Pittsburgh, if not a little bit hot. People carrying fake Stanley Cups, dressing up their kids as Stanley Cups, people dressing themselves up as the Stanley Cup. It's a lot of tinfoil, it looked like, involved in that costume. You wrap that around your body and make yourself to look like the Stanley Cup. But you can't beat the real thing. And so a few lucky fans, as I saw on social media with some video, got a chance to actually touch the Stanley Cup. That's because Sidney Crosby, who was the finals MVP, got off the pickup truck he was riding on with that cup. And he walked alongside the crowd. He let people touch the cup. They didn't get to hold it or anything too close, but at least they could touch it as he kind of walked down the line there. So that was a nice opportunity for those fans to get very close to something that's so storied. And in fact, the Stanley Cup is the oldest trophy in professional sports in the U.S., so a big deal for those fans to get to see that. And they'll have a whole year to see it around town in Pittsburgh as they as they tour it around for yet another year.
I understand the Penguins will get a chance to get even closer with the cup, that each member of the team will kind of get a chance to keep it for 24 hours or so and hopefully do nice things with it.
Yeah, that's a fun tradition that it makes its travels around, not just in Pittsburgh or even the U.S., but around the world. There are a lot of foreign-born players on the Stanley Cup. The aforementioned Sidney Crosby is Canadian. There are players from Russia and all over the world. So the cup gets around. It makes its way around the world, and we see a lot of social media posts from those players as they tour it around, bring it back to their hometowns, bring it with their friends and family. We've seen in the past the cup get filled with champagne. We've seen people bathe their children in the cup at the top of the cup. So, you know, lots of fun things I think we're going to see on social media in the coming weeks and months as those players get a chance to tour that around.
Andrew, a similar story out west, kind of very similar to what Stanley Crosby did with Kevin Durant after the Golden State Warriors won the NBA title. I saw a video of him on, I think it was Facebook, stopping his vehicle, getting out of the car with the trophy, with the NBA trophy, and kind of holding it up. There was lots of security around, but I think maybe a fan or two got a chance to touch it.
Yeah, that was a very cool moment that went around social media, and that's the benefit if you win on your home court or your home ice. You get to go and do that right after the game, right after winning the championship. So Pittsburgh didn't have that chance, but Golden State certainly did.
Are the Warriors still trending on social media, Andrew?
They are indeed, because the Warriors will be having their parade tomorrow. So lots of anticipation for that in Oakland, California. But there's also a little bit of controversy surrounding the Warriors. As we've talked about on the show in the past, it's a tradition in the U.S. if all the major sports teams that win a championship go to the White House and they're feted by the president, and they usually give the president a nice jersey that says POTUS on the back, which is President of the United States. Well, for the Golden State Warriors, there's a question about whether the team is going to go. A lot of the players on the team have disagreed with President Donald Trump. Some have said that they don't want to go to the White House. They don't want to meet with him. So it's going to be interesting to see if the team decides not to go, if players decide not to go, and if they even get an invitation. The president might not invite them to go, which would be kind of controversial. We talked about this with the New England Patriots when they won the Super Bowl. Not all the team went to the White House, including Tom Brady, said he had a prior commitment. But other people are saying, you know what, it shouldn't be politicized. You should go, and it's the president, regardless of who's in office, so you should go and do that. We'll see if they make any announcement on that. But in the meantime, they'll be partying in Oakland, California tomorrow with that parade. And I wouldn't be surprised if, like with the Stanley Cup, we see that trophy make the rounds on the streets there in Oakland. Maybe some people get to touch that.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Sonny.
And that wraps up the June 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. One of the world's most promising and, in terms of economy, fastest-growing regions, sub-Saharan Africa, is under attack by transnational criminal networks. Corruption is one of their major weapons. Corruption is an abuse of power at every level that impacts rich and poor countries alike in both the private and public sectors. Corruption destroys trust, undermines development, and erodes confidence in democratic institutions. It distorts markets, causes higher prices, discourages investors, and stunts economic growth. And it is particularly destructive to communities in developing countries, where it blocks development and progress. As the criminal networks see it, you must spend money to make money, and that goes double for corruption. And transnational crime is tremendously lucrative, accounting for 8% to 15% of the world gross domestic product. Hundreds of millions of dollars every year enable criminals and other threat networks to corrupt the regional economies and the global financial system, said Senior Director for National Security and Diplomacy Anti-Crime Programs at the State Department's Bureau of International Narcotics and Law Enforcement Affairs, David Luna.
The proceeds of drug trafficking and other forms of illicit trafficking are fueling a dramatic increase in corruption among the very institution responsible for fighting crime. The collusion and complicity of some government officials with criminal networks have helped to carve out an illicit trafficking corridor that stretches from West Africa coast to the Horn of Africa, from North Africa south to the Gulf of Guinea.
Across these illicit routes, bad actors and networks are corrupting critical institutions and enforcement systems that endanger everyone's security, said David Luna. The United States is determined, in cooperation with our partners in Africa, to disrupt and dismantle transnational organized crime networks. In support of President Donald Trump's executive order on transnational criminal organizations, the United States will continue to assist our partners to strengthen their capabilities to combat today's threat networks, said Mr. Luna. We must crack down on corruption at all levels and cut off the ability of kleptocrats, criminals, and terrorists to enjoy the fruits of illicit enterprise and that enable the financial capacity to execute their operations.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a look at the challenges facing women and girls in Africa on their road to empowerment. We'll examine the current situation and look ahead at the way forward. On the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Tante AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
VOA News.
When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.